everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is doing such a great job here Fridays with us engineering the show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday. We made it to Friday, July 17th, 2015. We're live Monday through Friday right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com, and the station's fine website is kvoi.com. And our media partners, we like to do our shout-out to them at least once a week, and it's usually Friday: TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, all big supporters of our work, and we thank those individuals and journalists on those fine organizations. The Friday Focus interview this afternoon is with Tucson's new city manager, Mr. Michael Ortega. Michael took over management of City Hall in early July, coming to Tucson from Cochise County, where he was the administrator over in the county seat in Bisbee. A Southern Arizona native, Mr. Ortega is a graduate of the University of Arizona. He earned a bachelor's degree in civil engineering and an MBA. He previously served as city manager in his hometown of Douglas and held a series of positions in Pima County's Department of Transportation. Joining me in studio to question Mr. Ortega is Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is open at 790-2040. If any of our listeners have a question or comment for Mr. Ortega, he would be delighted to hear from you. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Dylan, how are you?
Great. Did I hear you say it's July 17th?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Can we get something? Tom, is that true? Yeah. How'd that happen?
I don't know. Where'd the year go?
I really don't know.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a very, very fast year. Michael Ortega, how are you? It's great to meet you.
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me.
You hit the ground running. We were talking before we went on. You even came in on your own time a couple of days, even before your start date. You've been meeting with a lot of people. You're a numbers guy, looking at the numbers. What kind of shape is this city of Tucson in that you are now at the helm at City Hall with management?
Overall, I believe that we're in solid shape. Certainly have some challenges that we'll be facing. Walked in a balanced budget, and I know that there's some challenges around getting it structurally balanced, understand that. But overall, just really trying to get an understanding of some of the issues and constraints that we face as an organization.
And you've met with a lot of the folks, the department heads, I'm sure, and what kind of feeling are you taking away from the meetings?
Well, first and foremost, they're very passionate, very excited about the opportunities that are in front of us. I certainly understand the constraints that they've been under. The city is, as a whole, has had some very challenging budget times. And I was just having a staff meeting or a meeting with some of the staff members this morning, and I suggested to them that we should celebrate the fact that we have done as well as we have. You know, when you look at the significant budget challenges and cuts, if you will, and revenues, et cetera, the economy, to be able to provide the services that the city provides with the professionalism and so forth that we are able to do and provide, I think is huge. And we need to celebrate that.
Here's Dylan Smith.
I know you've been doing your homework for quite a few months now, but you've only been in this job for really a couple of weeks. Is there anything you can point to that you really want to jump on and work on and roll up your sleeves?
Well, certainly the budget. That's going to be key. I've suggested to the mayor and council that's going to be an important priority. It's not necessarily the priority, but I think it's an important priority. The key will be for us to develop strategies for addressing next year and the year after, because right now we've solved the problem, if you will, or the issue at hand. But clearly looking at 16, 17, 17, 18, we've got additional challenges that we will be facing.
We keep scrambling every year to make sure the budget is balanced. Do we sort of run out of those short-term fixes?
Well, ultimately,
at a certain point,
ultimately, Dylan, when you continue to rely on one-time fixes, those run out. I mean, ultimately, they are finite. So there's just a conversation needs to happen around how to look at some of these issues, and clearly there's two sides to the equation, revenue or expenses. And I've suggested that we really need to look hard at the expense side. That's going to be a huge focus for me, but we can't ignore the revenue side and look for opportunities there. So I think it has to be a balanced approach. I will be speaking with the mayor and council. I'm hopeful maybe in the November timeframe, early December. My thought there is for me to be able to give them some ideas, give them some perspective that I bring, and then suggest that we start talking and maybe implementing some changes or challenges or addressing some of the challenges immediately versus waiting until July 1 of next year.
All right, 790-2040. If any of our listeners would like to speak with Michael Ortega, and we do have our friend Jim Kelly is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, would like to speak with Michael Ortega, who is with me live in studio. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, thank you, Bill. Hi, Mr. Ortega. One of my biggest concerns for you is, do you have all the tools structurally that you need to do your job? And what I mean by that is, do you have the right accounting program, the right contact management system, so you know who's talked to who and what the voters and the citizens of Tucson are wanting in terms of service from the city of Tucson? Do you have the tools you need to do what you want to do?
Well, Mr. Kelly, that's a great question. And I mean, the short answer would be, the tools that I have to be adequate for me to perform the job, if you will, and work towards accomplishing some of the goals. But to your point specifically, one of the issues that I've already identified is the need for us to invest in our IT infrastructure. Clearly, our IT infrastructure is important not only for the addressing of some of the issues that the public sees, but also some of the internal challenges, everything from, you know, how do I get reports? How am I able to see where we are on any given day? And it's difficult when you have antiquated systems. And I'm not being critical. I think that that's one of the areas that has suffered as the budget has shrank, if you will, or shrunk over the years. And so you start to look at, okay, so how does that fit into the overall priorities? But overall, I think that it's a clear understanding of what those tools or how those tools exist today, and then a conversation with the council and with the residents of Tucson on tools that we might need in order to be even more efficient and more effective.
Okay, thank you, Jim, for that question. It's kind of the first time I've heard about IT infrastructure brought up as an issue. What would it take, and how old is the current system, Michael, and what would it take to kind of really do it right and get the whole thing upgraded?
Well, I'm not sure that I can tell you exactly what it would take, because I'm still learning the intricacies of the system. But for example, I met with one of the council offices, and they would like to know what their actual balances are, you know, basically on a daily basis to understand, so they can manage some of their programs and some of their expenses. If you can't provide that information, it's difficult for them to make decisions. So that's just but one example. Other examples are our email system. We use a different email system than most everybody else uses. We do not use Outlook throughout the city, and that causes some inefficiencies in our ability to track and do some things with the email. And so, again, it's based on just very, I'll call it a short snapshot of some of the things that clearly we might be able to do a little differently, but more importantly, understand the investment that might be necessary in order for us to move forward.
How old is that technology?
I don't know.
What would you think? Guess it?
Well, I had never heard of it. So.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if that's I really can't tell. I don't know.
Okay. Here's Dylan.
I've got a bit of a more philosophical, in a way, question. You're not an elected official. You're appointed by people who are, though, and your job is very much affected by the ability of those folks to gather political support for a project I know you maybe don't quite have a handle on all of the shifting that goes on behind the scenes here in Tucson, but what was something that you could not get done down in Cochise County because of political pressure that you really thought needed to get done, but just there wasn't the political will to push it along?
Well, and I will go out on a limb here, and I'll tell you.
You don't work there anymore.
Yeah, that's right. I can tell you now. But it doesn't really matter because I did it in an open session. I did it in public. And as we saw the downturn in the economy in that role, I recognized there was capacity for the board to address property tax rates. And I brought that proposal to them publicly. With a recommendation for them to consider increasing that tax rate, and I was basically told each time no, and I understood that. I was prepared for that, but as someone who they hired to give them that type of information, I brought it forward, and I suspected that might be tough to get through, if you will, or get approved. But it was still my responsibility to bring that as a part of many other options for them to consider. And they generally chose they always chose the other options, which was fine.
It's hard to raise taxes.
But and I understand that. But it is part of my responsibility to come and identify for the elected officials and for the population as a whole how we believe, or I believe from my perspective, that we can solve some of the issues and address some of the challenges that we're facing.
All right, we're going to take our first break here of the Friday Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:16. Michael Ortega, the new Tucson City Manager, is with us, 790-2040. If you have any questions for Mr. Ortega, he would be delighted to hear from you. And Dylan Smith also sticks around from TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back.
It's a beautiful morning.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, "Thank you for calling," or "Press 1 for hours and directions." Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
1, 2, 3, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're hearing music from the Rascals. Every Friday we do a 60s bump music. And Tom, you picked out a couple of really good Rascals hits so far. They were called the Young Rascals, I guess, originally. This shows Young Rascals.
Anyway, then they got old.
Yeah, then they got old, like everybody else.
Like the rest of us.
Yeah, like the rest of us. Michael Ortega is here. Mr. Ortega is the new Tucson city manager. He's been on the job a couple of weeks now, actually a little more than, pushing three weeks. And Dylan Smith is here, Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com. We have the streetcar anniversary coming up, and that will be on July the 25th. Overall, the first year will be going into the books as how, Michael? How does it look?
Well, first and foremost, the streetcar has been a tremendous success, and I think that's one of the things, as I was doing my research for this role, this position, I found that the mayor and council, through their leadership, really looked at that, I'll call it public investment. And that has, in my opinion, been a catalyst for a lot of the private investment that not only has already occurred, but is on the books and is being contemplated. So we're really excited about the anniversary. It's July 25th, as you mentioned, Bill. And we're going to have, it's the one-year anniversary, and there'll be free Sunlink passes, if you will, that day. So there's basically no charge. And we really appreciate that. That's an opportunity to really showcase the streetcar. And I think that if you haven't ridden it, or we haven't ridden it, please take advantage of that. Gives you an opportunity to understand what all the excitement's about. So if you haven't had an opportunity, we encourage you to come out. I know there's festivities planned all the way from the U of A down to downtown. So we're really excited about that.
Michael, how does the ridership, what do those numbers look like?
I know that they've exceeded our projections, Bill. I don't know the exact numbers, and I apologize. I probably should have that. I haven't quite committed. I'm a numbers guy.
I know.
When
you're
I hear
a numbers
them,
guy.
When I hear them, but I haven't heard those numbers. But I do know that, at least in meeting with the staff, that the ridership has exceeded our projections.
Here's Dylan Smith.
Speaking of the streetcar, a lot of people sort of shrug off the ridership numbers. You know, they are pretty well above what was projected for that first year, but people point to how much money is it making? And certainly it's not going to turn a profit, but how much money is it bringing in to try and cover some of those costs?
Again, I don't have the exact figures, and I apologize, Dylan, that I don't. I do know that you have to
look. Seat of the pants.
I'm sorry?
Seat of the pants.
Well, seat of the pants, I can tell you that the return on the investment is huge. I mean, I do know this, at least I've heard this number, I shouldn't say I know it. Our investment, it pales in comparison to the private investment. When you start to see hundreds of millions of dollars of investment along the corridor and within the region in that area, that's huge. and you start to talk to different people, and it's interesting how people have approached me and said, hey, I'd like to sit and chat with you. I've got some ideas for some development downtown or along the corridor. That speaks to the value, if you will, of that investment.
I wanted to ask you about the streets and the roads. I'm sure that was one of the first things when you're doing your research about should I take this job, that Tucson certainly has is road repair challenged. How's that for you, Michael? How are we doing now, the city, with the Proposition 409? Folks decided and voted and said, yes, they want roads fixed. How are we doing with that?
We're doing very well. Now, I will tell you that, and I think Dylan was probably at the public interview process when I mentioned to the public that I actually took Grant Road down to my interview.
you got a pretty good laugh with that.
Yeah, I did. It was actually, and I didn't intend that. I was really just kind of trying to demonstrate the fact that I understood what we were facing, and fortunately, we've been able to address the Grant Road, or at least some of the Grant Road issue. But clearly, this is a bigger issue than just Tucson. It really is a function of the funding formulas and all the things that go along with how streets and roads are addressed. Clearly, and I understand that there was an analysis done back in 2011, 2012 that put us pretty high on the list in terms of deteriorating streets and potholes and so forth. And that's not something that obviously we're very proud of, but clearly demonstrates that need. I know that the staff has at least preliminarily reported to me that the Prop 409 monies have gone very well, and we are ahead of schedule on projects and within budget or below budget on some of those projects. I think that the needs are much greater than that. It's pretty obvious as you drive around. We can focus on the collectors and the arterials, the streets that everybody uses, but you can just go off, and I've been taking tours with council members, and they've been showing me around their wards, and those neighborhood streets are equally poor, if you will, in terms of their condition. And so
then there are so many more of them.
And there's so many more. And the difficulty is trying to prioritize and all things that go along with that. So, you know, we're going to be exploring ways to address that, and I don't have a magic wand that can make those go away, but clearly that's a very important part of what we do. And although there's a lot of emphasis that's placed on a variety of the services we provide, without that fundamental civil infrastructure, we really can't, you know, tout the quality of life for our community that we all know and love and appreciate.
You needed a wheel alignment after your job interview.
It bounced me around pretty good in my old pickup. So,
yeah, we've had a few of those alignments. But Grant Road looks good.
It does. It looks
great.
They
did a nice job with
it. I will pass that along, Bill.
Yeah, so we make these lists of certainly bad roads. We make a list. We make the lists, unfortunately, of distressed cities. There was another one out that we were number 9 out of 10 distressed cities. So how do we turn things around, Michael Ortega?
Well, again, there's no magic to it. I think it's a strategic approach. One of the priorities that the council outlined and identified for me is economic development, jobs, and the economy as a whole. And, you know, it's easy to sit here and say, you know, we're going to get right to it and we're going to get on high paid, sustainable wages and so forth and so on. But it really is a much bigger conversation than that. And that is, what role should city government play in that effort and in that whole conversation? And although we have a role to play in the recruitment of business and so forth, the more fundamental core business is to make sure that we are providing the infrastructure, and not just in the traditional physical infrastructure, but also the social infrastructure and in some of the services to facilitate the business development. And again, it's, you know, expansion, you know, recruitment and you know, making sure that we retain folks here as well. But the role that we can and should play, our core business, if you will, is to make sure that we are facilitating those folks to be able to do their business. And then ultimately, what does that translate into? Well, reliability in our water system and making sure that our roads are in good shape and we've got good fire and police protection and so forth. But it also goes into to some of those intangibles, like just the quality of life. You know, it's the quality of life that we enjoy here. And that's all part of the public participation process and making sure people are engaged and they feel engaged and we're responsive. So that's the approach. And that's not a direct, you know, here's the magic to it, Bill, but that will be the approach that the council has basically asked me to look at, and I'll be reporting back to them.
City managers have a tendency to move around. You're here for a while, I assume.
Yes, sir. My kids and grandkids wouldn't have it any other way. So
you like Tucson and you're willing to stay for a while.
Absolutely love Tucson, and I will tell you that the mayor and council asked me that exact question as a part of my interaction with them, and I told them I want to be here as a minimum of 10 years, and mm-hmm. that's my goal, if you will, and I know that's a little bit of a tall order given some of the history.
But we've gone through quite a few city managers here in the past decade.
But it is. I understand that, and that was one of the things I thought about long and hard before throwing my hat in the ring. But I'm excited to be here, and I think we're going to do some great things.
Thank you very much for coming on, Michael Ortega. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Michael Ortega is the new Tucson City Manager, coming up on exactly 12:30. Dylan Smith has kindly agreed to stick around for another half hour from his busy day. And
you twisted my arm, so I'll hang for a bit.
And I see that Tim Steller is already on the line. Mr. Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim has already begun his summer vacation on his way up to Flagstaff, but he has pulled off the side of the road, and he's on the phone. He's going to join us in the conversation. Got a little breaking news. Dylan's got a little bit of a sclew, as we say in the business, exclusive, and we will talk about that right off the top after we take our mid-session break. Be right back.
Grooving on a Sunday afternoon.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for a conversation with Dr. H.T. Sanchez, superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Also, the Monday political face-off features Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and our show archive at buckmastershow.com. All the world over so easy to see. People everywhere just wanna be free. Indeed they do. Music by the Young Rascals, our 60s bump music. It's time now. The second half hour of the Buckmaster Show on Fridays is our Friday Roundtable. Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, sticks around after our interview with the new city manager. And on our live line is Mr. Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, where are you? At a rest stop?
Undisclosed location. Somewhere in the Ahwatukee
foothill. You're on your way to, what, are you going to take a week off?
Well, actually, I'm taking a couple of weeks off. We're just a few days up north for a while, up in Flag.
Very,
I need a break.
Very cool. Tim, we've got a little breaking news here.
I heard word of a sclew. I've never heard that before.
Oh, that's...
He's going old school.
Yeah, that's old school, Tim. Dylan's got a sclew for us, exclusive. So we're going to turn it over to him, but what I have in front of me on my screen, the headline is, errors in McSally's campaign reports add up to millions of dollars. Dylan, what's going on?
Well, I've been looking into this for quite some time, tracking the numbers that Congresswoman Martha McSally is reporting for her campaign fundraising, and the grand total that has been included in her filings with the FEC over all during this year has been overstated by millions of dollars.
Whoa.
And this isn't the money that she says that she's brought in this year. That seems to be fairly accurate in that her statement that she's raised $1.4 million. But there's about $3.3 million that are included in those reports that doesn't seem to have come from anywhere. And we've asked and asked for an explanation of where they came up with these numbers. The FEC has sent them numerous letters pointing out inconsistencies and errors and things that don't add up. And just on Wednesday, they missed another deadline to explain to the FEC exactly what's going on.
Wow. Tim, your reaction, sir.
Yeah, well, actually, I do know a little about this. I was looking into it yesterday, and what's strange is that it's been a problem that they have had for a long time. They switched accounting or whatever the name of the kind of firm is that you use to do campaign finance disclosure last year sometime, and there was a letter filed, I think in February, saying, yeah, we're getting this worked out. And yet they haven't. I mean, it's something I was hoping to get in today's column, but I didn't get there. And it's bizarre. I mean, get control of your finances. You know, this is very basic, and they've really screwed it up for a long time now.
It's some very large numbers that it just don't even seem to come from anywhere. You can't track it back to where did this number come from, but they've been high since really the reports that were filed right after last year's election, and the clock should reset. The election cycle should reset fairly soon after the election, and those totals should go back to whatever they've just immediately raised, and they've stayed at, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
So somebody's got things quite right. Their other big issue is that for a majority of the people who are donating large enough sums of money that they need to be itemized individually, they're not including any of the required information about what their occupation is or who their employer is. And that's something the FEC has pointed out over and over and over again. And it's really not, you don't see other candidates getting this number of FEC letters. She's gotten 14 of them.
Wow.
In the short period of time that since she's, become a candidate and, through the elections the races that she's run.
Right, yeah. It's not 14 in this current cycle, but it's it's a lot. It's not something you see.
Yeah. Well, in all of his races, Ron Barber got one. Since 2001, Raul Grijalva has gotten one, although he had more than that in the years prior to that.
Wow.
I mean, it's funny. You don't think, at least my mind doesn't naturally drift toward malfeasance. My mind naturally thinks accident.
Yeah.
But it probably is just they can't get this thing right. But on the other hand, if they keep screwing up, then at what point does it become malfeasance? You know, at what point is there something that they're trying to hide or something that they don't want to show up? I don't know, but they got to get it right. If they don't get it right, then it raises a question.
And wow. with this latest letter from the FEC, they didn't even bother to respond when they pointed out that, hey, your numbers don't add up. The previous one, they waited until the deadline to fix it and sent them a letter saying, we know there are problems. Can we have more time?
Wow.
The FEC doesn't give people more time. You're supposed to fix this stuff.
We will certainly bring this up with Congresswoman McSally, who is scheduled to be on our show in a couple of weeks here on hopefully this will be cleared up before her appearance, but you never know. Anyway, Adelita Grijalva on this program a couple of weeks ago, several callers asked her, where is your campaign expense report? And Dylan, you say that has now been filed, right?
The TUSD board president, Adelita Grijalva, finally turned in her homework.
Okay.
7 months late. This is move from looking at the Republican to looking at a Democrat. Certainly, this is a whole lot less money. This was a campaign finance report for about $2,000.
Okay.
So fairly small potatoes in comparison. It's not millions, but very, very, very late. And she finally got around to filing that. She never did get around from what we can see from the info that's available from Pima County to amending a campaign report from the same race, an earlier one that showed an over-the-limit contribution that she said was merely a typo.
Okay. Tim Stiller is with us. Tim is on our live line from a rest stop on his way up to the high country. And Dylan Smith is with us. And Tim, your column this morning, I'll tell you, you start talking about you talk about potholes, people really, they freak out, and kind of rightfully so, right? You also talk about what people make for salaries, and folks in this town go ballistic.
I try to take a kind of middle of the road approach in this. With someone like Chuck Huckleberry, with a compensation of $320,000 a year, you can kind of understand why people would go ballistic. I mean, it's explainable because he's been around for so long and he keeps getting raises and he keeps having that three to two vote majority. But that's a big salary for a city like this. And then, of course, it's the many, many people who make more than $100,000. Although, in fairness, a lot of them are attorneys or highly skilled people, MDs and such, who would make that much more than they make now in many cases in the private sector.
Well, and the TUSD superintendent, who will be on the show on Monday, H.T. Sanchez, and of course there's been this huge outcry, Dylan, about his 24% pay raise, and I'm sure...
It's a hefty raise.
Yeah, I mean, so when it comes down to salaries, if you're a private, working for a private company, that's kind of off-limit what you make.
Well, but, you can tell people if you want.
Yeah. But
I make $8 a week.
Yeah.
I mean.
But if you work for a public governmental entity, that stuff is all public record, right, Tim?
Yeah, right. I mean, you can't expect privacy on much of anything really to do with your work life when you are working for a government agency. Yeah, that's the way it is. And some people, they don't think about it because they just get a job with the county or the city or whatever government entity it may be, and they just, it's just a job. But that's the reality of life in most of the United States and definitely in Arizona. So it's something that they should know and be used to, Your salary, at the very least, but even all your work product, that's public record in general. There's not much it isn't.
We see this kerfuffle every so often when somebody, publishes these generally, although I guess in this case it was the county accidentally ended up posting it where the public could see it. But it is, you know, public info. These are people who work for you and me. We pay their salaries, and we should know how much we're paying them.
John,
well, what's even more funny about all this is that, as I understand it, this database was put together in order to put it out and have, you know, essentially have transparency on of salaries and other information. And yet, when it was put up prematurely, that became an issue. But if it had been put up after the say-so was given, then it would have been fine. You know, so the information itself, let's just make this clear, is public information, and it just shouldn't be a big deal for people to have out there.
All right. I was going to say that one other story I want to get to. John Kromko has led what appears to be, as far as getting something on the ballot, he had more than enough signatures, Dylan and Tim, to get this this to put to voters whether or not to put the brakes on traffic cams. I mean, this has gone down 3-1. I mean, has been passed 3-1 in most cities.
They've been banned 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1 in most places. And I would expect if it hits the ballot here in Tucson, yeah, they'll get rid of the red light cameras.
It will be on the ballot unless the city council steps in fairly short order to go along with the initiative and just pass it on their own.
Why would they want to do that, Dylan?
Well, a couple of people on the council have not been the biggest fans of the red light cameras. Paul Cunningham in particular has said several times that he would vote to get rid of them. But there are, you know, some political issues even for the people who are supporters of them who are on the council. If you turn out people who are stirred up and mad about the red light cameras, and they, you know, are voting on that on the same ballot that all the incumbents who are running for the city council are appearing on, and the city bonds, I mean the county bonds are appearing on. That kind of throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into some people's carefully laid plans, and they might want to think about just you know, taking that away.
Wow,
absolutely, yeah. I mean, we got the charter election
that too
issues that could could suffer from a kind of gut level no to everything vote. Which I would be surprised if they don't consider, and I really think they should pass the ban on red light cameras, not because I'm 100% against them myself. I can't quite cross that threshold, but politically speaking, they're doomed.
Well, the threshold is imaginary, I guess, for the you know, the beginning of the intersection, so that's appropriate.
Right.
In who's running and who is not, we kind of bring you up to date on that. I spoke with Ken Bennett on the phone this morning. Before the show, and the former Arizona Secretary of State is going to be a candidate, running for Congress in CD1 as a Republican. That's going to be an interesting race, Tim Stellar. Ken Bennett is in it, and Gary Keeney, the White Mountains rancher, and of course District 1 is important to our listening area because it's a huge district in parts of Marana, Oro Valley, and on up the ladder. What do you think, Tim?
Well, the other one you haven't mentioned is Paul Babiou, the sheriff of Pinal County, and he's likely to, he's certainly looking into it. His campaign people have been putting out polls that suggest he's the most recognized candidate among Republicans. So I would count him as a possible strong contender. Bennett would probably be slightly more mainstream Republican, Babiou a more Tea Party attracting Republican, and Keeney kind of attracts the rural vote. And I wouldn't know how to handicap it at this stage. I mean, they all have their attractions, but I would be very interested to see Babiou win the nomination. I've just always found him to be a fascinating political character, and a strong Democrat against Babiou would be a heck of a race.
It's such a huge district. It's really hard to predict, you know, what sort of candidate is going to make a breakout, especially, you know, in the primary, which is what it's going to take on the Republican side, where you've got so many people who are going to be apparently going to be jockeying to be that candidate.
Yeah.
And Ann Kirkpatrick, the current Congresswoman representing District 1, is going to run against, she hopes to be the Democratic nominee going against what could be Senator McCain, although Senator McCain will have competition. He's going to be primaried. State Senator Kelly Ward of Lake Havasu City. Kelly is a doctor. Dr. Ward has announced that she's going to go after McCain. That is a huge uphill battle. Just, of course, with McCain name recognition and, of course, the money it will take to run that kind of race.
He's been...
J.D. Hayworth would like to weigh in, I'm sure. He put up a huge fight.
Got
lots of people stirred up last time to in his run against McCain in the primary, and just failed miserably.
Yeah.
So you can expect McCain to run hard to the right. Border issues have already been something that he's started to hammer on, and he'll undoubtedly bring that out again as he does every 6 years or so. And I'd be shocked if she persists in the race. If for some reason he doesn't decide to do something else, I'd be shocked if he doesn't win the primary.
He immediately started to hammer on some of what you could charitably call some of Kelly Ward's more interesting public statements.
What would that be?
Well, wanting to spend state money investigating chemtrails would be a big one.
Well, we're going to talk with Kelly Ward here in the next couple of weeks. We'll hear about her campaign. So the whole political thing, I know it's extremely early, but those of us that kind of love to follow politics, we like to we look at these things like, you know, who's in and who is out. Before we go, gentlemen, another survey comes out, Arizona, Tucson, in one of the surveys. It seems like popping up all the time, one of the most distressed cities. So what else is new, right, Tim Steller?
Well, yeah. I mean, these come out occasionally, and we know that we're a poor city that's struggling upward. And, I don't see it as this as any different, except one little thing I thought interesting from what the authors of the report told our reporter was that they encouraged startup businesses as the solution or as a key solution. And I don't know, you haven't seen that kind of thing. Everybody focuses on recruiting factories and such from out of the city. And I like this idea that you have to build from within in order to solve these problems.
Okay. The report came from a think tank backed by several Silicon Valley entrepreneurs, so it's fairly predictable that they would point to startups as the solution to all ills. That's kind of where they're coming from, where they made their millions and millions.
Okay, we got to go. Tim Steller, enjoy your vacation. You are now you're now officially on vacation.
Oh, no, I'm not. Oh. I'm writing my column as we drive.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Tim.
See you.
Okay, be safe. And Dylan, thank you very much for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
All right. We've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. That's next.
How can I be sure in a world that's constantly changing? How can I be sure?
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap
and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
All right, here we go with the Weekend Watch, hosted by Mr. Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where it is just 3 hours east of Tucson to a lot of fun this weekend. The Hummingbird Festival at the Little Toad Creek Inn and the Fiber Arts Festival in downtown, historic downtown Silver City. There is always so much to do. You can always hike in the Gila Wilderness. Really a great place to cool off this summer. Great places to stay like Pinos Altos Cabins and Silver City KOA. Find out more by going to their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning publicist, and a guy who is always ready and always happens to find a great meal. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, Bill. Happy Friday to you. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer to happy hour, as we always say. And as I've always said, happy hour should be more than just a bowl of mixed nuts or a basket of chips. And the guys at Dante's Fire have put together a creative yet affordable happy hour menu that all of my fellow foodies are sure to enjoy. It's called 777, which means seven items, each for only $7, until 7 p.m. Now, selections include chorizo sliders, fresh tuna tartare, even escargot. And these dishes can all be washed down with dollar-off specialty cocktails and $4 draft beers. This is real food, Bill, with beautiful beverages, which is why I love the 777 happy hour at Dante's Fire on Grant Road just east of Campbell.
What if folks are in the mood for some brew?
Yeah, another destination for craft beer fans has officially opened up their doors, but rather than brewing beer themselves, they're choosing to showcase Arizona-born and bred beers, and there's surely no shortage of suds. The Arizona Beer House is on Broadway and Cold, and with more than 32 taps, you're not going to leave thirsty. Now, most of the taps represent Tucson and other Arizona breweries, along with a few selections from California and Colorado, but it's the Grand Canyon State that reigns supreme, which is why you should check out the Arizona Beer House this weekend.
Somebody looking for barbecue?
Yeah, this just in from the You Can't Make This Stuff Up, Ben. A new item on the menu up at the Parish caught my eye the other day, and I simply had to give it a try. barbecue pigtails, Bill.
What?
That's right, pigtails. Now, you haven't lived until you've taken down a plate of these porky parts. You got to think short rib meets chicken wing meets mad scientist chef, and you'll be squealing all the way there. Now, the parish is on the northwest corner of Oracle and Orange Grove. Just follow your snout and treat yourself to something unusually delicious. Have you ever had a pigtail, Bill?
I have not. What's in the column this week?
You know, Bill, most of us are familiar with the luscious flavor that a good balsamic vinegar can bring to a salad or a loaf of fresh bread. But I spoke with some local bartenders earlier this week who are actually using balsamic vinegar in their cocktails, and it got me thinking, can balsamic actually be a trendsetter at the bar? You can read this super sweet story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. So much fun.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Matt Russell. Thank you, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of my team here at KVOI, terrific people, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, just to name a few, Doug and Mary Martin, it's just a great crew here. And also want to thank the birthday girl, Rosemary Brandt, my longtime producer, now executive assistant, having a big birthday this weekend. Happy birthday to you, Rose. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.